Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Our guy, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. He does nothing but win awards. Got a whole room dedicated to all of his awards. And he is Ryan Wood. Follow him on X by Ryan Wood. Ryan, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Sparky. How are you?
I'm doing good. Why did they have y'all at Lambeau yesterday for? I don't understand. I mean, the man wasn't going to trade his picks next year. He said that. There was no chance he was coming from 52. So why did we go through all this for?
Well, I'll give you the same answer that I gave Matt LaFleur last night, because a little funny story. As we're, me and my colleague Dominique Yates, were watching the draft, the only two in the media auditorium, Matt LaFleur comes in, and obviously that whole area has been renovated. We are a new media office.
Lavish.
Space there. So he's coming in to check it out. I guess this is his first time seeing the... It used to be the old team meeting room that is now the new media auditorium. And so I'm watching the draft, and I hear someone say, "We traded up." It was Matt LaFleur. He was obviously
messing around.
Joke. And yeah. The next thing that he said was that same thing. What are you even doing
here? Yes.
And I told him, I was like, well, they gave us free food. There's free dinner. So I'm a journalist. You know, we're not the deepest pockets. They say free food, we show up. That's why we were here. But no, basically, if Ryan Gutekunst wanted to act like a drunken sailor and mortgage everything regarding this future draft capital of this team to get into that first round, I had to be there. But in the 99% chance that did not happen, there was really no reason. It was the free food, Sparky.
That's fine. At least you're honest. I like honesty. Honesty is good. We're streaming live now on Facebook, X, YouTube, Instagram Live, doing all that stuff. We started this week doing Facebook and Instagram Live. And we got one here from DMZ1954, who says, "I want best available." You'll never, ever, 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 ever hear me say I want best available. I want maybe best available at the position that I want. Maybe we can go there. But just the whole best available, that always drives me nuts. And every GM is going to say that every year when that same GM is asked the question, best available or positional need. Having said that, looking at this draft, and I brought this up earlier when we were talking to Jason Hirschhorn, from the idea of defensive tackle, deep, don't need to do that in the second round. Cornerback, deep. Don't need to do that in the second round, which then brings me to interior offensive line. Potentially, there's going to be a couple of really good players still on the board, and there's certainly going to be good wide receivers on the board there in the second round. If you were a betting man, which I know you are not, what position or positions do you think are most likely in the second?
Well, first of all, Sparky, you need to catch me at a blackjack table, because I certainly like my blackjack.
Double down on 11.
You always split the aces. I always stand on 12 over 2. You know, I've got my own wrinkles. So,
if you play with me, you would hate me because I double down on 12 every time.
Oh, God, I would absolutely hate you. That'd be my... We would fight. That wouldn't go well.
That's why anyway, I don't sit at blackjack tables at Pod One. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's BPA is always a half truth. I mean, it's half true. You want the best player available, but the full truth is best player available at a value based need.
Exactly.
Right. Think about what they could do tonight. There's only two positions that would just absolutely shock me in the second round, and that is quarterback and safety. Like there's no reason to draft a it might be the best player available. You might think Carson Beck is the best player available at 52. You're not drafting quarterback, regardless if he's the best player available, right? Because you have Jordan Love. It's best player available at a value-based need. But the good thing there is, I give Ryan Gutekunst credit for the way that he used free agency, and this is far from the first time, to set up the draft. Free agency covered a lot of contingencies. Okay, you're losing Quay Walker, so you trade Zaire Franklin. So you're pretty comfortable at Mike linebacker. You were trading Colby Wooden for Zaire Franklin, so you signed Javon Hargrave. You don't hit the compensatory pick formula. You've got that second all-downs defensive tackle next to Devontae Wyatt, so you feel better at defensive line. You bring in a warm body that does not have near the egregious injury history of Nate Hobbs and Benjamin St. Juice. So you at least start to build the competition for that second corner spot opposite Keyshawn Nixon. Because of how he used free agency, there's a lot of areas where Brian Gutekunst can say, okay, this is best player available, and it helps our roster get better. It could be running back. It could be receiver. It could be tight end. It could be defensive tackle, corner, on down the line. There's all kinds of ways that this could go. Mm. Obviously, if it's corner and that's the best player available, that marries probably your biggest need. Certainly, if you look at the two deep, the one glaring starting job open right now is that second corner spot. It marries that with the best player available. That's the perfect world, but you do want to go best player available instead of just saying, okay, we need a corner no matter what our board tells us, we're taking this position. You don't want to do that because then you start chasing. You got to bring in talent, but it's value-based need talent.
I'm not taking a tight end in the second round. I'm telling you that right. I have Tucker Kraft. I'm good at tight end. You want to take a tight end on day three somewhere to have depth behind Musgrave? Fine. I don't care about that. Running back, man, you just hook a running back. And he can't stay healthy. So does that mean now you have to waste another pick on day two for another running back?
Yeah,
I love the kid from Arkansas. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan. Like, big dude, can fly, like, all about it. I just don't know if for what they have right now. Now, if you said, hey, we're going to go get a guard to compete against Belton, I should say, then I'd say, yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm interested. Sure, let's see what that looks like. If you tell me we're going to go get a tall, long receiver, so, you know, Reed and Golden, you know, can play in the slot and go four wide, okay. Or we're going to go get a tall, long wide receiver that can run because we don't think we can sign Christian Watson, okay, fine. I'm intrigued. Let's go. Let's do that. But there are certain positions. We're doing the draft show tonight, me and Charlie. I'm telling you right now, they go tight end or running back in round two. I am not going to be a happy camper, Ryan Wood.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's the right philosophy, Sparky. And here's why. I got to make very, very clear. It better be your best player available. Like, it better be definitive. It's not close. But if running back is absolutely the best player you have evaluated on your board, and it's definitively better than the corner, and you're not bringing the best player available, then you're just doubling down on the mistake of drafting Marshawn Lloyd, which mistakes happen for everybody. In fact, this GM has been a lot better than most GMs when it comes to middle rounds. Marshawn Lloyd's a third-round pick that at this point looks like a wasted third-round pick. There's been a lot of hits rounds 2 through 4, 5 for Brian Gutekunst. That wasn't one. But you don't double down on the mistake. The best GMs move on, and they don't compound it by just trying to hold on a little longer to what has proven to be a mistake. So if running backs defend, and I'm not saying this is a far-fetched hypothetical here, but if running back's the best player value talent on your board, it's definitive, and you don't take that, because there's a very real need for a second running back in this offense. Josh Jacobs is 28 years old.
Yep.
He has a ton of mileage. The injury started last season. Usually at that position, once they start and you have a lot of mileage, they don't stop. You want to make sure there's someone behind Josh Jacobs in that backfield. If that's your best player available, second round's not too early. It's best player available and bringing in the talent at a position that can help you.
He is Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on X at @ByRyanWood during our Green and Gold update here. I was Wisconsin Sports Daily. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. All right, you have a couple of guys that you would kind of like to see them take at 52. I don't remember if you are somebody that really gets into this draft or not.
I'm not. I'm not someone. Now, I do have a second-round mock out, which I do every year, and you find that at Packers News. I haven't taken a corner. That is, for me, more than anything, just an exercise in really getting familiar with the path to 52, if that, in fact, is where the Packers make their first pick tonight. The reality is we have no idea how these guys are going to be as players. Any of these, first round two, we have no idea. And I know we don't know because frankly, they don't either. Like, the draft is so much guesswork. Even when you are professional as a player talent evaluator, there's so much guessing. You don't know when they come into the building, what kind of player they're going to become. You're projecting all of that. I think it's a fool's errand to fall in love with a prospect. He's the guy. He's got to get this guy because we have no idea. No one really knows. To me, it's, does it make sense? Is it a logical approach here Did they get a valuable prospect at an area that helps the roster?
I gotta cut you off. We got breaking news, and now you're gonna go have to write a story, and I screwed you by having you on our radio show. So I apologize. Dan in the 715, thank you. He texted the Nicolay Law Talking text line. Adam Schefter, wide receiver Jaden Reed and the Packers now have agreed to a 3-year contract extension worth $50.25 million in new money, including $20 million guaranteed per Drew Rosenhaus and Ian Grutman. And let me first say start by saying that's insanity. My initial reaction is that's a gigantic overpay. Your initial reaction, Ryan Wood, finding out like I am.
Say the contract figures again for me.
3-year extension, $50.25 million in new money, including $20 million of that guaranteed.
So, God, this is live radio.
Live radio, baby. This is how we do it.
What's the annual average salary there? That's somewhere less than 20, right?
No. It's like $16 million, $17 million a year.
No, that's not an overpay at all.
16.6.
That's a very fair deal. And it goes in line with a point that I wrote about earlier this week, which was, okay, if you were to go to Brian Gutekunst a week ago and say, hey, here, you want a first-round pick? Of course he's going to tell you yes. Of course you prefer a first-round pick. But if you're going to take a first-round pick away from a GM, there are worse to take it away from than Brian Gutekunst, because Jaden Reed, second-round pick, you forecast that 2023 draft out, he was a lot more likely to get a second contract with the Packers than Lucas Van Ness.
Average.
I wrote about it earlier this week. So this is a GM that, again, his sweet spot is rounds 2 through 4. This is just more proof to that. I think Jaden Reed is, since his rookie year, he has proven to be a top playmaker from the slot. He got hurt last year. They're obviously expecting him to be healthy. You hope he's healthy. But in terms of playmaking, sub $20 million annually, that's a fine deal for the Packers.
I went on SpotTrack to go look. Romeo, on average per year, and Charlie did the math, 16.6. Romeo Doubs, $17 million. Rashid Shaheed, $17 million. Cooper Kupp, $15 million. Now, this is for the 26th season. Cooper Kupp, $15 million. Mike Evans, $14.1 million. Khalil Shakir, $13.2 million. Other side of that, Jerry Jeudy, $17.5 million. Michael Pittman Jr., $17.5 million. Wandale Robinson, $17.5 million. Jacoby Myers, $20 million. So this puts him in the top 30 as far as paid wide receivers go in the National Football League. What, if anything, do you think this means for Christian Watson?
I think there should still be enough room to extend Christian Watson. I put him in a different tax bracket as sub 20. The reality is that Christian Watson stays healthy, and he might be a guy that bets on himself this year. Because if he stays healthy, plays all 17 games, and produces like he did coming back off that torn ACL last year, the market says that he's going to be a $30 million a year receiver. They should, the way that the soft cap is, there's all kinds of financial flexibility. I imagine if he proves to be that guy, that's what the market says, he's still in the running to get extended here. This deal does not preclude that one.
Does this change anything as far as potentially drafting a receiver on day two?
No, I don't think it does. The reason being, you need depth. And I think the top of this depth chart is actually in a better shape than it was when they had Romeo Doubs and Dontayvion Wicks, because the reality for this passing game, they've had too many mouths to feed for 2 or 3 years now. They brought all these guys in at once, and they placated all of them, or they tried to at the same time. There's only one football. So narrowing and funneling down roles in the passing game is a step in the right direction. Sometimes less is more. But as Brian Gutekunst, I asked Brian Gutekunst this directly at the start of the week, are you happy there's fewer mouths to feed? And he made it look, you still need depth. And so it doesn't hit the depth having Jaden Reed extended. There is, if they can bring in a talent, a best player available type situation when you're on the clock that improves your depth, I think that they can still benefit from that.
Right now, it's Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Matthew Golden, Will Shepard, Savion Williams, Sky Moore, Bo Melton, Isaiah Nair, and Jacoby Keeney-James. That's what that wide receiver room looks like right now. How comfortable are you if that's what it looks like in week one?
It's a solid starting five. You've got your top five there, Savion Williams being wide receiver 4, Bo Melton being wide receiver 5, which as wide receiver 5s go, Bo Melton's just fine. He's a wide receiver 5 on a 53-man roster is a guy that you're looking to predominantly for special teams. Bo Melton's played a lot of football. if you need him in a pinch for a week here, week there, to have an extended role, he can deliver that. You're not asking wide receiver five to be your go-to playmaker week in and week out, but they don't need Bo Melton to be that. It's a good top five. The problem is, if there's an injury there,
yep,
then the depth chart's down to four. Where are you getting that extra depth? Because it's a big drop-off after those first five. That's why it wouldn't surprise me if they added a receiver to give themselves six and to pad the depth.
Jaden Reed and the Packers, again from Adam Schefter. 3-year contract extension worth $50.25 million in new money, including $20 million guaranteed. Drew Rosenhaus does it again. We looked at that group, so you're putting him in the same group as, say, Romeo Doubs with the money that he is making, just under Romeo Doubs. And then Ryan Wood says it's good. It doesn't seem as bad once we start talking about the receivers in that same group of money to me anymore. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. Enjoy the food and enjoy the draft tonight.
All right, take care.